I'm Meredith.
And I'm Robin.
And this is My TV Family. Today we're talking about some of our favorite 2018 TV shows and looking ahead to 2019 and some of the shows we're looking forward to.
Welcome back to My TV Family. Happy New Year, Meredith.
Happy New Year.
As my co-host with the very most, Meredith, said, this week we are talking about what we loved watching last year and what we're getting excited for in the year to come. It's peak TV season, Meredith.
It is. I love this time of year.
It's cold out. It's not really cold out here, but it could be cold out some places. People have their fireplaces going and there's binge watching aplenty.
Yeah, binge watching over the holidays and then back to network TV and
yeah, I'm not trying to mid-season hear about your shows. Hiatus networks. Okay, so before we get started with our 2018-2019 lists, let's turn to hot topics in television. Yeah. Meredith, what's on your radar?
Well, I think we both want to talk about the Golden Globes.
Oh, yes, we do.
Those were this week. Do you want to share your feelings about the Golden Globes?
I was mostly in it for the tweets. Okay. I got to tell you. Yeah. I thought that the show itself was a little all over the place.
Oh, yeah. It was a hot mess.
I love the red carpet.
Always.
I liked the Fiji Water girl. Yeah. She, like, was having a moment. My favorite best dressed gentleman was Billy Porter,
yeah.
Who you may remember from one of my favorite shows, Pose, which we'll come back to. So he looked fantastic. I thought it was funny that people who had not discovered the bodyguard yet were like, who is that smoking hot dude?
Yeah, I think the little striped gray in Richard Madden's hair.
Yeah,
really.
People were feeling it.
That was part of his accessorizing on the carpet.
I saw many, many mentions of him being more than a snack and being a whole meal, as the kids like to say.
They do like to say it.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that Hollywood foreign press. Like, they're here, they're there, they're Mozart in the jungle. Like, they don't know.
Yeah.
What's going on. But the awards were kind of all over the place. I feel like Green Book has kind of taken a dive in most people's minds. And that one, old Gaga didn't win for anything. Bradley Cooper, I heard several people say, was looking like a serial killer in that white tux. I don't know.
I felt like they had the most unfortunate seating because they were
right up on that stage.
So they got a lot of shots. Like, are you winning yet? And I know Lady Gaga did win for her song, but I don't think that's what she wanted to win for.
You know what? She won something.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's not, like, upset about it, but I'm saying I think she really wants people to think of her as an actress.
Are you saying it's not an honor just to be nominated?
I'd be thrilled to be nominated for anything ever.
And be right up in front.
Yes. With Bradley Cooper, no less.
Yeah. What did you think of the host situation?
I liked it. I'm a big fan of Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh. It was kind of an odd pairing. But I think they made it work.
Mm-hmm.
It like fit the whole night where it was like just a little bit off.
Just a little bit.
But I like both of them enough where I don't care. And that's my thing is, like, it can be the craziest show ever where things aren't going right, which I feel like that happened a lot this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love it. I want every minute of it. I love seeing celebrities together.
Meredith's here for it.
I am. Every award show is, we call it my Super Bowl, but I have a lot of Super Bowls. I just think.
What is the Super Bowl of your Super Bowls?
You know, I don't have one of those, I don't think.
I enjoy seeing which couples are together. Like,
yes.
You forget that Rachel Brosnahan's with that guy who played the Pod Save America,
yes,
knockoff on Younger.
Yes.
They're like a delightful, darling little couple.
Yeah, they are.
Little brown hair. yeah, I enjoy seeing stars like in their natural habitat.
Yeah, and I like the jokes, even if they're not all delivered well. I don't care. The jokes are funny.
I adore Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
And Sandra Oh's parents stole the show.
Oh,
I know that's not an original thought, but come on. Is there anything cuter than proud parents in formal wear?
No.
Nothing.
I maybe cried a few times when I saw her parents being so happy for her. So
that is lovely.
And in the same vein, the Oscars is coming up.
Yes.
The Academy Awards.
Without incident or drama or scandal at all.
And I know I don't really need to talk about Kevin Hart at all. I feel like it's been discussed.
No, we're good.
Yeah, he didn't apologize. Just apologize. But anyway, just to cover my buns, I know he apologized, but I'm using that in air quotes.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he apologized. Anyway, it sounds like there's going to be no host. I think they just announced that they're not going to have a host.
What do you think that's about? Like, you guys couldn't behave, so now you have no host.
I know. I thought about that, and I was like, there are so many people. I already have a list.
100.
Amber Ruffin, Maya Rudolph, A.D. Bryant. I would be thrilled to have any of those three ladies up there. I can name 15 other women right now.
They would rather have no host than have, like, two funny lady hosts.
Yeah, I don't get it. And also, but the thing that I thought about is probably time. Like, I know so much
time. Prep and, yeah, that's
time true. Time goes into the jokes, and I think no one wants to kind of scramble.
I guess.
And pull that together.
That's not my fault. Academy of Motion Pictures.
Write some jokes.
Oscar, pull it together. Well, it will be interesting, and I have a sneaking suspicion if there are no hosts and they just have like a revolving door of celebs introducing things.
Yeah.
It will be a nonstop joke throughout the night about there being no hosts.
Yeah.
I hope there are some political statements. I hope there's a streaker. Yes. I hope gauntlets are thrown. I hope people are yelling from the audience.
Your bucket list for the Oscars is
it's going to be a rockin' bingo card. I'm telling you.
That's what I miss most about the Golden Globes. I feel like their speeches, none of them really moved me. I know Glenn Close kind of ended the night. And,
yeah.
Regina King had a really nice statement about equality. And
there were some good moments.
There were a few, but I feel like maybe everyone's holding them out for maybe the Oscars. But I could have used a few more
Golden Globes
impassioned
are,
speeches.
Yeah, I always think of the Golden Globes as like the drunken, you know,
loosey-goosey. Yeah.
But then, like, I want to see some fun. I want to see Amy Poehler sitting on George Clooney's lap. Like, I want to see the funny. Like, if you're going to be loopy and sloppy, like, lean into it.
Yeah.
You got that, Amy Poehler?
Whoa, this turned to criticizing Amy Poehler?
Never. I would never criticize Amy Poehler, ever. That's like right up there with Tina Fey. No, no, no. I love you, Amy.
Those are my hottest topics. Do you have any more?
Those were super hot. Just more of a current events update. My podcast partner, Meredith, you don't know her. no, Meredith and I.
She doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go here. So Meredith and I went to a trivia night put on by a great group here in Austin called the Get It Gals. And this was kind of more of a general trivia night that we went to covering events in 2018. There was plenty of popular culture. Don't worry. It wasn't about news or anything.
The only way we survived was there was plenty about popular culture.
About Baby True or whichever one that you...
Yeah.
Meredith pulled out in the clutch somepeople.com. But anyway, the Get It Gals, if you're in Austin or visiting, check them out. They have, TV based, mostly TV or definitely pop culture, trivia for The Office or Parks and Rec or The Gilmore Girls or Game of Thrones or like a combination of all of those things. So, they're super fun. It's a women run business here locally that we love to support.
Yeah.
Oh, and also we came in first place. I'm sorry. I should have led with that. Oh, woo. But it was really a blast, and I ate 10 pounds of nachos. That's literally what it says on the menu. 10-pound can of nachos. And Meredith rolled up and said, I already had dinner. I couldn't have another bite.
That sounds like me. Yeah, I think that was a great night. And if anyone wants to meet us at the office, I plan to win first place again.
Ooh. Wow. Challenge. Okay, so shall we move on to what we are watching now?
Yeah, you know I'm dying to talk about The Bachelor.
Well, there are listeners out there. that guy. lots of listeners want to know what your take is on The Bachelor. All I know about him is what they keep pumping about him, which is that he's saving his flower for marriage.
I've just felt like they have shoved this down our throat so many times talking about it.
Does he have any other personality characteristics?
No, he's the worst. Okay. And he was my last pick for The Bachelor. I think most people's last pick.
Really?
Yeah, I like to hang out on Reddit, the Bachelor subreddit.
Ooh.
And if you type in Colton, which is The Bachelor's name.
Yes.
Oftentimes your phone will autocorrect to colon.
Amazing.
Yeah, and the subreddit really gets into
colon.
Yeah, really gets into colon.
Oh, sorry, colon. That's brutal.
But, you know, I'm not a big fan of him. He's fine. He's just, like, very vanilla, and I'm not that into him. But I do like all the commentary on the show. I fast forward through most of the show and then just listen
just have
to
the context.
Three podcasts about it. And
that's amazing.
With my subredditors. There was just a lot of gimmicks in the first episode. One girl showed up in a sloth costume.
One girl pretended to be Australian.
Yeah, you know, just everyone's trying to get people to remember them or
have
at least
their
stay
moment.
Around. And it's just, it's cringeworthy.
Well, related, colon health is no laughing matter. Get your colonoscopies, everyone.
Thank you. The more you know.
Bong, bong, bong.
Okay, so I didn't just watch The Bachelor. I tried to get into the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Did you start it?
Our favorite wizarding
the wizarding show. World of Mrs. Maisel.
Yes. I've been really resistant to watch
it. Same.
I don't know why, because I blew through the first season.
Same.
Right? Like, it was one weekend, all eight episodes, just, like, couldn't get enough. And I've been really resistant, maybe because I just am like, oh, I'm going to have to carve out that time. When is that possible?
It's going to be so amazing. It's going to tear me away from everything.
But to prepare for this, I was like, I'm going to do it, because people keep telling me second season is better than the first.
And
I couldn't even get through the first episode. And please do not let this be, like, my final opinion about the second season, because it's not. I will give it another chance, but I just couldn't get into it. There's just a lot of storyline. One of my favorite parts is her doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And it took, I'm like 40 minutes in, maybe 30 minutes in, and she still hasn't done any stand-up or, like,
brutal.
A long rant of jokes or a storytelling or anything like that.
No Sherman Palladino hijinks?
No, and I think that's the most marvelous part about Mrs. Maisel.
Agreed.
See what I did?
I do.
Yeah? Okay.
I really do.
So I will get back to it, but it's not going to be this time.
You're not running back to give it a watch? Is Lenny Bruce in the first episode?
No, they talk about him, but he's not.
Pass.
I know. And someone in the very first episode, someone's like, what's the deal with them? Are they dating? Right? Like, I don't... And they say, no, they're just...
What is the deal?
Yeah. What's the deal with Lenny Bruce?
Who needs Mrs. Maisel? We have our very own Jenny Seinfeld.
I'm sorry about that. But I can't tell if that is... their way of saying, like, he's not in
don't be yeah. expecting old Lenny to.
I know you all are hoping for a Lenny Maisel get together. It's not happening. I don't know.
I gotta find out what their couple name is. Yeah. Stand by.
Then I found a new comfort rewatch.
Tell me.
I'm rewatching Grey's Anatomy. And it's like 30 seasons long, so it's going to provide comfort for a long time. But just reminded me that those first few seasons of Grey's Anatomy are good television.
I never watched a single episode.
I know. Sometimes I'm embarrassed because it's one of those shows that I feel like has gone way too long that I watch it. But I remember those, after watching this, I'm like, those first five seasons are very good.
Should I start it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Does it age well?
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
Patrick Dempsey aged real well.
I think so. I mean, there are probably some things that don't, just like everything. There's probably some things you're like, what? A little off, but Sandra Oh got a Golden Globe and was nominated almost for several seasons for when she was on it, those first few seasons, and she deserves it.
Mm.
There's a couple scenes in Grey's Anatomy that, like, get me very emotional. this most recently that I watched. Like, I got goosebumps, and I was just listening in my ears when George O'Malley gets hit by a bus. You don't know who that is, I know, but they didn't know it was him because he was, like, so deformed, I guess, from the bus crash.
Jeez.
And he is, like, trying to tell them that it's him, and he was, like, writing in Meredith Grey's hand, and he writes 007 because that's his nickname because he killed someone. And the moment it clicks to her that it's George in the bed, and because he says 007, and she figures it out, like, runs chills down my spine.
It's oh,
like, such a thing. And Sandra Oh, she gets left at the altar, and Meredith Grey goes and finds her in her apartment, and she just has this breakdown, like, get this dress off of me. She's still in a wedding dress, and they cut it out of her, but, like, the acting there is just top notch.
I might have to add it to my list.
I know. I'm making it sound like it's the best TV show of all times, and it isn't, but
I hope it wins an Academy Award this year.
I was pleasantly surprised by how good the first few seasons were.
Okay. I'll add it to my list.
And this is kind of a sporadic part of our show.
Yes.
On what my kids are watching.
Tell me.
And thanks to Taylor Swift putting on her Reputation tour on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole show that she did in Dallas. I've seen it like 3 times.
Really? Yes. Is it good?
I mean, it's okay. So, like, she knows how to put on a production.
Yeah.
It's a little cheesy at times where they're like doing the changing of the stage and she's out there talking about
stop you right there.
One thing that brings us all together is we want something real. It's just
hit it, boys.
But my daughter just loves to stand and dance and watch it, and
yeah, she does.
I think it's a fun thing for her to access on Netflix. So,
well, if anyone sees our children, we were at trivia and realized that Imagine Dragons were playing the halftime show of the football championship, yes, and that neither of us recorded it.
Nope.
So if anyone sees our children out and about in public, we never had this conversation.
they will never know that it was on.
Oh, a real live rendition of Natural, Dare to Dream.
All right, so that's just a little bit about what I'm watching. I feel like it's hard to catch up over the holidays of all the things I watched, but that just gives you a peek into my
little
watching taste. Yeah.
Thanks, Meredith.
You're welcome. What are you watching?
So I finished Superstore. I'm all caught up. It is everything to me.
That's exciting.
Bring me more. So much more.
Caught up to the mid-season of this season?
Caught up. Ready to go. Hit me with the next step. I am caught up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sing a song about it.
I was aware that I was coming to the end. I feel like sometimes you don't know. So when I was binging Jane the Virgin, I ran out of episodes and couldn't figure out what happened. I thought I was like having a panic attack or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was aware that I was coming to the end because I knew that Amy and Jonah were going to be together and get together and maybe something. I don't know. But it's so good. I adore it. And I started Grown-ish.
Ooh.
And I really like it.
Yeah.
I started it accidentally. I was traveling and I was in a hotel room and the second season premiere was on and it just sucked me right in. I was like, who's that girl? Is she with that guy? Are they together? What happened? Are they fighting? Are they friends? Who's that chick? She looks new. So it prompted me to go back and start from the beginning. If you're not familiar with Grown-ish, it's the spinoff of Black-ish. I watched a decent amount of Black-ish, and I wouldn't say, like, it seems like the obvious comparison would be like, oh, if you like Black-ish, watch Grown-ish. But like, I would say if you like shows about people in college, which as a youngster myself, I often watch shows about college kids. But I will watch anybody like in a school setting.
Yeah.
I will be the lady at the retirement home that's like, what's that new California Dreams all about? So anyway, I really like it. The characters are really great. The main character is one of the daughters from Black-ish, and she has like a really cool crew, and it's about like her roommate and some friends, and you know, it's a good mix of guys and gals, and there's Hian and Sheehan going on, but it's not all super fluffy. It definitely tackles like drugs and drinking, and this is all, you know, halfway through the first season. But Zoe is the main character, and she's using Adderall to like try and stay awake to study.
Yeah.
So that's a serious topic, Meredith. It's not all just fluffernutter out there.
You're going to sing that I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
If we've learned anything from peak young person television, let's hope so.
Yeah. We need a reboot of that scene, even though that's my least favorite scene of Saved by the Bell.
Are you
sure? I've gone on a rant about it.
But I think you would like it. Give it a try.
I know. I did try one episode of Grown-ish a long time ago, right when it came out. And I think it was just hard to get into the first episode because it was a lot of like pausing, like, this is so-and-so.
Right.
This is what they were like back in high school. Yeah. And here's, and they kind of gave the whole backstory. So it was hard to get into the groove of the show. I think it probably made sense that it worked out for you because
yeah,
it was like
I accidentally,
right in the middle of it. And you're like, oh, this is where the fun is.
There is a lot of direct-to-camera comments from Zoe, which is a little bit like whiplashy.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to talk about House of Cards, but in a show that will not be named, I remember when the main character, Spouse of Bars, when I first started watching that program, it was such a whiplash moment when the main character would turn to camera and address the audience.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's so many shows that do that now that
another flashback to Zach Morris, who used to do it all the time.
The inspiration for
Time Out.
Many a thing. So yeah, if that's a thing that you have feelings about, keep that in mind. But I really like it. Two thumbs up. I also started the Marie Kondo show on Netflix that should be titled Put All Your Stuff in the Front Yard and Set It on Fire. So if you're not familiar with Marie Kondo, she came out with a book about the life-changing way of tidying up. And she just makes, so it's comparable to like, people are calling it like hoarders. It's not really like hoarders. There's nobody that's like hanging on to like old margarine tubs, like crying and like saying like, I'll never throw it out. It's not like that. Like these are people who want help. First of all, not that the hoarders people didn't want help.
Yes.
But she just tells you to like, you have to get all your clothes out of your closet. Every single stitch of clothing that you own.
Ooh,
you have to make a mountain out of your clothes on your bed. Mm-hmm. And then you have to physically touch every item and see if it sparks joy in you.
I would say no to all of that.
Meredith is currently nude in our studio.
But a girl's got to wear some clothes.
Yeah, so, but Marie Kondo is just the best. I love her so much. I've seen lots of comparisons to Queer Eye, just like in the feel good category of like this really nice person who wants what's best for you, comes into your house and helps you change your life. Like, doesn't come in there and say, like, you know, you need to throw these ratty ass socks away or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
but I do.
Yeah. Meredith, Marie sent me to tell you. So yeah, it's, I just very much feel that it's in the Queer Eye vein of like, you know, people who are positive and helpful and want what's good for you.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to set your possessions on fire.
Oh yeah.
Or
and
just
I'm already like seconds away from that in a moment. So,
yeah. And I just want to fold t-shirts into beautiful little packets.
I know.
Oh, let's stand up on end. Anyway. Yeah, so that is something I've been watching. And then also, I think it counts because it's on Netflix. I watched Roma and Buster Scruggs, even though those are both movies.
Yep.
As you know, Meredith, but those out in listener land may not be up to date at this exciting development. I am part of an Oscar contest where I get points for watching movies that are nominated for Golden Globes and SAG Awards and Oscars. And Roma and Buster Scruggs were included in that. So I had to watch them to get points. But I was going to say I enjoyed them. That is not true. I enjoyed Roma.
Okay.
That's Alfonso Cuarón, who did Gravity. And I think he directed one of the Harry Potters and Y Tu Mamá También. So it's set in like the mid-70s in Mexico City. And it's like a pretty faithful retelling of his childhood.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking and touching and moving, and like that's another one that like stays with you. Two thumbs up. And then The Ballad of Buster Scruggs was the most like violent, depressing, horrifyingly violent thing I've ever watched.
Is that the one that's broken up into several parts?
Like yeah, I think it's five or six vignettes.
Yeah. So it's almost like it's TV.
It is like it's TV, and it's the period, worst period.
All right.
And that's what we're watching.
That sounds good.
Okay. So, Meredith, tell me what you enjoyed watching in 2018. What were your top faves?
My top faves. Well, I'm going to start with one that will make you very happy.
Yes.
Because one of the ones that I, when I was kind of skimming through some of the things I watched, one of the things that brought me joy, there you go, Marie Kondo.
Yes.
Is On My Block.
Oh, that was so good. That seems like it was 10 years ago.
It was. And a lot of these, I'm like, that was last year.
2018 was a long ass year, y'all.
But we know that it was because we've only been doing this podcast for a year. So that was Meredith. Helpful. I'm like, was that 2018? I'm like, oh, yeah, we started this podcast in 2018. So yes.
Meredith is the brains of this operation, in case anyone was wondering.
So On My Block is a teen show about kids just trying to make it through. There's, you know, reference to gangs and
mm-hmm.
And just like
and love and family,
all of the things. But the characters are so endearing.
Ruby.
Yeah. That it just really makes the show. So that one is one that I would recommend a watch.
So good.
This kid's coming of age and dealing with all the teen things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. Another one that you mentioned already in this episode is Queer Eye. Both seasons, I think, happened in 2018.
That's not true.
Yes.
That's crazy.
They really cranked those out.
Wow.
And that is one that brought me so much joy this year and was just light. And even though they tackled some really heavy topics, they just brought so many positive things to television, I feel like. The Queer Eye guys have had their time in the spotlight, and I hope they have it forever. I hope that time is forever because they bring me a lot of happiness.
I feel like they are doing a good job of keeping the relationship alive on Instagram and, like, you know, like even when the show's not on, like
yeah.
They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. They are a force to be reckoned with, as they say. And yeah, I just think that whatever, like in the very distant future, when they decide to not do the show anymore, yeah. Hopefully they will continue to, you know, like I want to see Anthony in his underwear at the beach on Instagram forever.
Well,
he's doing the Lord's work.
I was about to say that. They all still, the nice thing is they came from being the best in, or I don't know if they're the best, but having some.
The cutest.
Some prestige in their areas, right?
Like avocado.
Yeah.
Plucking.
Tan had a clothing line, right? Like they all come from something and they'll just get to continue the show, hopefully, and do their own thing still.
They're all the best.
All the best. Just speaking of Instagram, if you follow Jonathan Van Ness,
you know
on
I
Instagram,
do, and his ice skating
his
lessons.
Ice skating, I just really love his ice skating. I don't follow him, but
I love that he's learning something new.
Yeah,
it tickles me to no end.
And he always, even before he actually got on ice, he would always practice like his triple axel on the ground, right? And if I need a little pick me up, I will go to his Instagram page and watch him ice skating.
It is real good.
The other thing that I just think was what brought me the most joy and the most sadness,
yes,
was Detroiters.
Okay.
And Detroiters, I don't think started in 2018, but it's when I discovered it.
Okay. So sadness, why?
Because it is not coming back for a third season.
That's sad.
And every time I think about it, I am heartbroken because Detroiters was just what kept us going in 2018. We loved it so much.
Oh, I gotta add that.
The friendship between them. It is just a silly, silly show. And I'm going to miss it. I found my husband like watching a few clips from it the other day and
just
laughing
for a giggle.
So hard. Yeah.
That is a rare, rare thing.
And then another thing, again, this is not one that started in 2018, but The Good Place, I talk about it all the time. It's just good, solid network television.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I chose it for 2018 was because it was really good in 2018.
Okay.
Like, that's where I feel like it really changed or moved past. It's a plateau. Was in 2018. And I've said it before on this podcast, but the episode where Janet plays all the other characters, it just like blows me away. And I wish she could win an award for that because it was just killer.
Maybe she will.
Maybe she will. Mm-hmm. But I think it's too late.
Is it?
I don't know. As someone who loves the award shows, I don't know how they work at all. So
they could draw names out of a hat for all we know. That's probably how they do it.
I don't think, you're right, that was this season, I think.
To be eligible, this would be the right window?
Yeah, I don't know.
Stay tuned, everyone. Our Emmys experts on next week.
And the last thing from 2018, and I'm just a little hesitant to say it, but I'm going to, Parents.
Really?
I know.
Again, did I get renewed?
Yeah, well, it's still going. I don't know if it got renewed for a second season yet. Okay. But it's still going. It hasn't been canceled off air. I just really love a show that's doing well on a network. Oh, I don't know if it's doing well, but
a show that is aired on a network.
Even though I love Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, and they bring us a lot of great shows, like I'm still a network girl.
You're an NBC gal.
I am. Cool. I am an NBC gal, and Single Parents just delivers for me still.
I need to check it out. Would you put it in the same vein as Fresh Off the Boat and Speechless? Is it that kind of? Regular old comedy?
Yeah, I think so. I'm worried to say that because I haven't caught up on Speechless, which I think is very funny, and I haven't seen Fresh Off the Boat. So, I don't know, but I think it's funny, and I've had other people agree with me. You know who you are, listeners. so hopefully it stays around.
Okay, well, fingers crossed for that.
Tell us some of your 2018 faves.
So 2018 faves include, but are not limited to, the trash-tacular fest that was Love Island.
Yes.
I am not ashamed. I will say it loud and proud. It was one of my favorite shows of the year.
Let your Love Island flag fly, Robin.
It sucked my life force out of me. I neglected my family. I neglected my work. Like, it was all Love Island all the time. I regret nothing. And season 3 remains my favorite of all time. I don't know if another season is forthcoming. I don't know if it will be as pure and beautiful as the ones I've already seen, but just know that it was the only thing that gave me life in 2018.
You'll always have season 3.
Except for my husband and child.
And family and
friends, podcast.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the order. Goes Love Island.
Country.
Anyway, so that was real great. Another thing that I would probably file like under pretty trashy, let's just be frank, is Elite, which was the school about the prep school in Spain, or the show about the prep school in Spain and a murder. and I tore through that like it was dish night at the movies. I mean, just like, whoa. So that was a real good one. The show that I think about the most and that I think did the most for pushing TV forward and doing the right things and employing the right kind of talent was Pose.
Yeah.
How many times can I mention Billy Porter this episode? Our count is at 2. Billy Porter, that's 3. I just adored the show.
Who was it?
That's Billy Porter with a P.
There's 4.
Which is P for Pose. And I mean, I really liked all the show. I liked all the plot lines, but I just so enjoyed hearing Billy Porter announcing the categories at the balls. The category is Falcon Crest. Actually, the category was Dynasty, and he accused someone of dressing more like Falcon Crest, which was such a sick burn. So
thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, Pose was fantastic. If you haven't watched it, seek it out. It's really great. I also enjoyed One Day at a Time. Rita Moreno, National Treasure, as you know. I liked the romantic storyline between old strapping young 6'2" lad and whoever the main lead is. What's my name? Where are we right now? I just blacked out. Anyway, I loved the kids. I loved the stories for like the teenagers in the show, the mom, the PTSD, the military, like the immigration story. Like there was
it
something
covered it all.
For everyone who is a follower of today. If you're alive right now, there's something for you in that program.
Yep.
if nothing else, Rita Moreno rocks my face off every time she makes an entrance. Like when she throws back her curtain from her room. Oh, that sparks joy. You know
she
what I mean?
She knows how to make an entrance.
Marie Kondo. I also want to give a shout out to The Bisexual. That was, I think, a little watched show on Hulu, but I think it's getting a little bit of critical buzz. And I just really liked it. It was not like anything that I've seen before.
Yeah.
It was just an interesting point of view. And I love just watching women being friends with other women. I think that's something that's like not portrayed realistically a lot on television.
Yeah.
And when you get it right, it is like magic. And I know I'm supposed to say that Succession was one of my favorite shows. I cannot, and I will not, and I shall not. It was on a lot of top 10 lists for 2018, and it just made me sad.
Yeah.
The acting on it was great. Kieran Culkin was great. Everybody in it was great, but it just like destroyed my faith in humanity. And I will not.
Nope, we're leaving it behind.
So, is there anything that you are super jazzed about for the year ahead?
I am. I have one New Year's resolution this year.
Is it to find more brunch places?
Yes.
Okay.
I have two New Year's resolutions this year. And the one is that this is the year I'm going to watch The Good Fight.
Okay. Let's make that commitment to one another.
I love The Good Wife so much, and I keep thinking about it, and I know the only thing that's holding me back is this
Josh Charles being dead. Well. Same Z's.
Stupid CBS All Access, but I just learned today that they give you a one free week, so I'm just going to go on a TV bender and just watch all of The Good Fight in that one week.
Can we wear our jammies? Yes. Will there be ramen?
Over brunch.
Okay.
And I'm just going to do it. I'm excited about it. People talk about The Good Fight.
I know.
All the time. And
I talk about The Good Fight all the time.
Me too.
How many times have I threatened to get CBS All Access? So many.
And then really most of the other shows that I'm looking forward to in 2019 are returning shows.
Okay.
So obviously the ones that I've already talked about, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine comes back. It actually comes back tonight.
Two nights.
The night we are recording. So I feel like it's kind of a new show because it's returning after a long break, and I'm just looking forward to that and their jokes. I could use it. And then The Crown. I feel like I can say that I'm looking forward to it in 2019 because there's a whole cast change.
New show, practically.
It is. I feel like it's probably going to be a completely new show. You have to get used to the new characters, and I just learned that Olivia Colman, she just won a Golden Globe for The Favorite, I just really liked her personality when she gave her acceptance speech.
She's lovely.
She seems like a fun hang. So I am looking forward to her as Queen Elizabeth. And then another one, you know, because I'm all sci-fi.
I know that about you.
I'm 100%
sci-fi. I'm like, Meredith, stop talking my ear off about the science fiction.
There's a new show called Roswell, New Mexico on the CW.
Okay.
And I love a CW show.
Did you watch the original?
Nope.
Ooh.
But I think I can pick it up.
It's about alien. Oh, yeah. Well, you're lost.
It's about a girl who meets an alien.
And they make out.
Yep. Probably.
Coming up next on the CW.
So I'm going to give that one a shot. I feel like.
Meredith.
When we.
Who even are you?
I know, but it's sci-fi on the CW.
We should call our frequent guest contributor and number one fan, Adriana Cantu.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she will be all up on some Roswell.
I hope so. I feel like it might. It's just like a gradual entrance into sci-fi on CW, because I know they'll give me all the other CW quality drama.
Mm-hmm. You know who was in the original Roswell is Sherry Appleby.
Oh, yeah.
Is on Unreal, which if The Bachelor's feeling a little too stale for you, this might be the year you come over to the dark side and start watching Unreal.
No,
so you can see what really goes on behind the scenes. Guess what? Colton's not a virgin at all.
Hey, now.
What else?
That's it. Those are the, I think, four shows that I am looking forward to in 2019.
Mm.
I mean, I think there are several others, but those are the ones I wanted to highlight.
Okay. That all sounds fantastic, and I'm definitely on board for the 9-9. and I would like to have a blood pact with you here now mm-hmm. about the good fight.
Okay.
So let's prick our fingers.
Yep.
Ow!
This is one resolution I feel like I can commit
and the
to.
Brunch thing. Come on.
Well, two. I mean, yeah, two.
So I am definitely very much looking forward to Jane the Virgin coming back and finding out what old Michael Britches has been up to, and if that was him, or if he faked his death, or he had a twin brother. Like, what is going on? Do we know?
No, I don't know. That really was the ultimate cliffhanger.
That was bananas. So, yeah.
Are you a big Michael fan, or are you a Raphael?
No, no.
Really? I think I knew that.
Ick!
I'm a big Michael fan.
Meredith!
I know.
Get out!
I know.
No, get story. Out of my home.
Bye!
Meredith has left the building. Michael?
I just have a really sweet story. As you know, because she wrote a book about it in the show.
Have you seen when Raphael was lifting weights at the gym?
Yeah. I mean, that's not my main concern.
Muscles. Gross.
No, I'm just love, Robin. It's a year for love.
I hope that is not Michael. I hope there was like a face transplant and they put it on like a seasoned criminal.
Oh.
Fingers crossed. I'm also very excited for You're the Worst, which I don't think is a show that you watch.
I haven't started it. Nope.
Ugh, it's so good. It is just about terrible people. And I know that I just said that I don't like terrible shows about terrible people because they make me feel bad. But this is a funny one.
Yep.
So, it's really good. It's this couple that is they were together and then they're not. And then she suffered like a debilitating bout with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've talked about this before, but I've heard from multiple people who are living with depression and mental health professionals talked about it was the most realistic portrayal of dealing with somebody, living with somebody, loving somebody who suffers from depression. It's really good. I think this is their final season.
Mm-hmm.
We will see if Jimmy and Gretchen end up together or not. But it will be a wild ride for sure. And also super duper excited for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I know you already talked about. And I just saw, a review of a new show on Netflix, I believe called Sex Education, starring Gillian Anderson, who was from the X-Files. You Ooh. May remember her yeah. as, I don't know, Mulder, Scully. We'll go with that. I get mixed up with the people from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so it is about a woman who is a sex therapist, and she has a kid who's in high school, and he starts giving sex advice to his friends at school.
Oh.
So it's getting good reviews. And
it's a family business.
It's apparently an intriguing concept. And I love therapy as like a genre. So that is what we're looking forward to. We would also like to know what you're looking forward to out there in listener land, or if you have top faves in 2018 that didn't make our list and you want to shout about it.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Keep in touch with us. You know that you can do that on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You could email us at mytvfamilypod@gmail.com. or on any of those social media pages at MyTVFamilyPod. And we'd love to hear from you and just tell us what you're watching.
Yeah, we'd love to know. Also, Meredith, it's a new year and a new you.
It is.
Let the new you be the kind of person who rates and reviews us on iTunes.
I've done it, but hey, I'll do it again.
Make it a 5-star review.
Bye.
Bye.